Welcome to Pathfinders, a podcast series from RBC Capital Markets where we explore the dynamic world of biotech and healthcare. I'm your host, Joe Coletti. In today's episode, we continue our conversation with RBC's biotech investment banking team. We're joined again by Managing Directors Alex Lim and Richard Shea, as well as Director Tim Chung. As part of our discussion, we'll explore the recent surge in biotech deal activity and look ahead at the sector's prospects, including how big pharma players are seeking long-term value, how biotechs are positioning for sale or IPO, and more. Welcome, everyone. Great to have you back. Let's dive right in.
Great to be here, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having us.
Alex, how do you expect deals come together in the second half of the year? What kind of activity are you seeing now? You know, what are you learning from your conversations with clients?
I think the theme has been over the last 6 months to a year, really, you know, big pharma looking for late stage, you know, commercial assets to acquire from biotech. And I think there's been a significant run of those end of the year and beginning of this year. I think we're switching to a little bit of a different kind of mode in that pharma companies and big biotech companies really thinking about how to, you know, build for the long term and not necessarily fill, you know, revenue gaps, right? You're seeing this play out in themes like obesity, where sure, Novo and Lilly have done a lot to build their business and kind of become leaders there. But you're seeing a lot of pharma companies do deals around this area to try to catch up, to try to, you know, go at it with different mechanisms and modalities. And so that's exciting to see. And I think that it impacts the whole ecosystem because they're not just looking at near-term kind of revenue, but they're looking at fundamental science and how it might actually impact the broader, you know, patient treatment experience over decades. I think that bodes well for our clients who are spending time looking for innovative ways to address this really important disease area.
Yeah, Alex, I think you bring up a good point. And as we look over the course of the last year or two, a lot of the acquisitions have been much more asset-centric, as, you know, particularly large pharma have been looking to fill their pipeline and for some of their near-term patent expirations. So they're looking at either late-stage or commercial-stage products. We will hopefully actually see a little bit of a shift now, though, as some of these pipelines are being filled on the back end, for them to start to look at earlier stage companies now to fill some of the earlier stage pipelines. So we might see a shift over the next couple of years towards earlier stage acquisitions. And also to that end, you know, there are some large pharma companies that are better positioned already, to the likes of Novo and Lilly, who, you know, do have foreseeable revenue with some of their obesity franchises. So I could easily see them focusing more on, you know, filling other therapeutic areas or earlier stage pipelines and making acquisitions on that front. We're also seeing, you know, large pharma branch out and acquiring platforms that are, you know, not, you know, pre-existing within their portfolio. We saw Bristol Myers acquiring Karuna, and then we also saw the likes of Lilly last year acquiring Point Biopharma and adding radiopharma capabilities into their portfolio as well. So you might be seeing more of that play out over the next couple of years.
And, you know, obviously a lot of excitement in M&A coming back, you know, more so in the sub $10 billion, you know, valuation range takeouts. And, you know, with strong M&A, generally strong capital markets, you know, as the biotechs generate strong clinical data, there's more and more interest for large pharma to take out these companies. And with that, it's going to be more return of capital to these investors and obviously redeployment back into the space. So, you know, M&A and capital markets all working well together is obviously great for the biotech markets.
So I want to shift gears again to the private markets. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what activity are we seeing in terms of funding rounds? You know, what sort of state of play right now?
So we have obviously talk about the IPO markets. We're talking about the private markets. So there's a sub 10 IPOs that went out this year. Definitely a healthy start. You know, probably see 30 to 40 IPOs for 2024. Performance have been mixed. Obviously, you're still in the early days, but we should expect to see the pace pick up, especially given we're in an election year. Generally, you know, a lot of these deals would be compressed into call it the January to September timeframe versus the full 12 months that we typically have in a non-election year. However, you know, we're seeing companies get flat rounds to up rounds now. And so companies are extending cash runways and being judicious about their spend and getting more data with less proceeds. We're also seeing companies top up the balance sheets from prior years where they couldn't extend their runways. And now they're thinking about tapping the IPO markets much earlier than they would have. So it's a great start for the year for the private companies.
I've been really impressed with many of our clients, but also, you know, other private companies that have really spent the last couple of years kind of taking the lessons of really financial discipline and really planning their business well, you know, to kind of maximize, you know, the funding they've received and to deliver on milestones so that they can, you know, look for their next financing. It's been really impressive to see kind of the whole industry really kind of focus and maximize the, you know, their ability to stretch every dollar. So I think you're going to find private companies have more options. So because they're delivering on, you know, more important milestones and so they're going to have the ability to raise money. They're going to have the ability to look at the IPO markets. They're going to have the ability to, you know, sell their companies or partner out, you know, assets and get non-dilutive capital. Given some of the things that have happened, you know, the challenging times that have happened over the last couple of years, I feel like most of our clients are better prepared to address kind of whatever this upcoming market is going to look like.
And Alex, we're seeing the dual track IPO M&A processes come back. A lot of these companies are doing this in parallel and seeing, you know, what value they can ultimately get from large pharma. And sometimes, you know, the offer is too good to pass up. Management teams ultimately end up selling their company prior to going public and, you know, forfeiting the dream of running a public biotech company. But, you know, as we have all seen, you know, markets change on a dime and sometimes it's not all that glamorous as it is. And just saying, hey, this offer is great, and we're going to take this, and you know, call it a day.
So Richard, let's turn to you for a second. Let's just talk about valuations for a moment. How are the clients? I think also with investors, kind of looking at valuations in biotech right now. You know, are they too low? Are they too high? Like, you know, are people kind of in a wait and see kind of mode? What's your take on it now?
Definitely argues massive value dislocation within the biotech market. Mm-hmm. What I would say though, in 2024, the market's been much more constructive. I think valuations have improved over the last few months, buoyed by a number of tailwinds that we've already mentioned, the strong M&A, some, you know, good clinical data that's been reading out across biotech. So I would say that sentiment and valuations have improved, and the XBI particularly has hit sort of a two-year high not long ago. So, you know, I would say that valuations are improving, but I would still say that there's more room to go to be fully valued here. I think that, you know, private company valuations are still, you know, particularly kind of re-rating as the public markets are settling. So, you know, we're optimistic that valuations will continue to improve.
And to add to that point, we are also seeing a lot of momentum plays happening in an autoimmune, right? It's saying that a company is going to target an XYZ with an autoimmune, you know, stocks, we're seeing stocks, you know, go as high as 100%+. So we are seeing a lot of tailwinds. And also in the ADC space, you know, everyone wants to have an ADC program. So this is all to say that the market's becoming healthier and having, you know, more momentum into these earlier stage companies.
So Rich, what about partnerships or joint ventures in place of M&A, for example? What kind of conversations are people still thinking about this? Is this still something that is, you know, a viable option, you know, in some instances?
Well, mid-cap biotech is always looking to partner with large cap to advance, you know, maybe certain programs in their pipeline that aren't necessarily a priority, or is just outside the scope of what a mid-cap biotech can do. You know, some of their programs can be addressing, you know, larger patient populations and require more capital to be able to run the trials. So they need those partnerships with large pharma, and large pharma is certainly looking for to expand their own pipelines as well, and on the earlier side. So, you know, absolutely, I think that we're seeing a lot of partnerships and collaboration still occurring in the market. It's a cost-effective method and to drive innovation.
And I think investors, we've seen, you know, really appreciate what the pharma companies, how they validated some of the biotechs and kind of how they followed those investments, you know, with their own money. So we've seen deals being catalyzed in the market by, you know, big pharma stepping in with partnerships or investments in companies, which then in turn are, you know, kind of provide an opportunity for investors to say, you know, okay, you know, we see, you know, these pharma companies believing in the technology, you know, we're happy to follow suit and put our money in to support, you know, these companies as well. So pretty interesting change, kind of subtle, but definitely has been a part of the theme here as we're the sector is recovering.
I want to close by taking a quick look ahead. Alex, maybe we'll start with you. So thinking ahead, what are you going to be watching most closely for the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about our sector. You know, I'm not in the business of predicting, you know, what the markets will do and how all the macro factors are going to impact us. But I'm really just excited about the fundamentals of the business. And I think one of the things that has been in my mind for the last few weeks has been this kind of return of capital from all the M&A that's been executed over the last, you know, 3-4 quarters. So I think the number, the last I heard, was about $30 billion that's kind of going to get recycled back into the market. So I think it's a real accelerant to what is happening in our sector.
Well, I completely agree. You know, the more money that investors have to redeploy in the space, it's just more shots on goal for companies to potentially come out with best-in-class drugs.
Yeah, I think that 2024 bodes extremely well for biotech. We're excited to see all the sort of the clinical developments that for companies are making. And as such, I think with the positive developments, hopefully more capital flows into the sector and continues to trend well. So it's a very, very optimistic time for biotech.
Tim, Alex, Richard, thanks so much for joining us again today. It's clear we have a lot to be excited about when we look at the forward outlook in the sector and what we can expect in the deal market over the course of this year. Appreciate you all being here.
Great. Thanks for having us, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Well, that's it for our conversation today. Thanks again for listening to Pathfinders in Biopharma, brought to you by RBC Capital Markets. Please remember to subscribe to get more great content and be alerted about future episodes. This episode was recorded on March 15th, 2024. If you'd like to learn more or continue the conversation, please visit rbccm.com/biopharma. See you next time.
This content is based on information available at the time it was recorded and is for informational purposes only. It is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation, and no recommendations are implied. It is outside the scope of this communication to consider whether it is suitable for you and your financial objectives.